If you have your Bible this evening, I'd encourage you to turn with me to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 20 will be our text this evening. As we continue to work our way in the morning through the Sermon on the Mount, and we expound even further on the truth that we were taught from that text with a correlating Old Testament text, we will take up the great prophet Isaiah. We'll consider 10 through 20, verses 10 through 20. But I don't know about you, but when I open the prophecy of Isaiah, I expect to hear thunder. I expect to hear the thunder roll. And indeed, I think we get it when we open this portion of God's holy word, Isaiah doesn't flatter the people of God. And we'll see in our text that he calls Judah by a shocking name. We'll note that in verse 10. Our proposition for this evening is this. In this passage, the Lord reveals that true covenant worship demands reconciled hearts. Remember, in extending on this morning's text from the Sermon on the Mount, reveals that true covenant worship demands reconciled hearts. Cleansed from sin, reconciled to neighbor, and restored by grace. Again, what I would like to set before you this evening is this great truth. The Lord's revealing to us that true covenant worship demands reconciled hearts. Cleansed from sin, reconciled to neighbor, and restored by grace. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, before we read God's word together, as is, I ask you every Lord's Day evening, if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of it. And let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of it to us. Our Father and our God, again, this is your word. And as we close out this day and we've already heard a word from you this morning, we pray that you would once again unstop our ears. That you would remove the scales from our eyes, that you would crush our hearts of stone, that we would indeed receive a word of truth from you this day and be changed forevermore. We ask you for this, Spirit of God, in order that we might become more like Christ. We ask it in his name and in his name alone. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are you multiplied? Sacrifices to me, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my face from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse, and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Here Isaiah records that God calls Judah by a shocking name. Did you catch it? Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Imagine that. God looks upon his covenant people, still bringing sacrifices, still keeping feasts, still multiplying prayers, we read, and yet he calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Why does the covenantal God of the universe call his people, who, as we've just read and just said, who continue to bring sacrifices, they're keeping feasts, they're praying, and their prayers are multiplying. Why does he call them Sodom and Gomorrah? I believe it's because their worship was divorced from reconciliation. As we look this morning in the Sermon on the Mount, we can never divorce reconciliation from our worship. Worship divorced from reconciliation, we were taught this morning in the Sermon on the Mount, is hypocrisy, and God rejects that worship. The same is true here this evening. He calls them Sodom and Gomorrah because their worship is divorced from reconciliation. Their hands were full of blood. Their lips sang, but their hearts hated. Now, this is not just their problem, it's our problem too, as we saw earlier. We can sit in church, we can recite the creed, we can sing the psalms and the spiritual hymns and the songs, and we can bow our heads, but our hearts remain unreconciled to our brother. Our hearts remain bitter in anger. And as Christ reminded us this morning, which is the very seed form of murder, as he expands on the sixth commandment, our hearts remain far from God. We remain unreconciled to our brother, our neighbor, our God. And the Lord says the same, really, your worship is an abomination to me. So here then in this passage in Isaiah chapter 1 verses 10 through 12, we again see that true covenant worship requires reconciled hearts. Now I want us to walk through this together. Isaiah lays it out here, I think in three steps. He shows us first that ritual without reconciliation is rejected. Let me say that again. He's going to show us first that ritual without reconciliation is rejected. Second, that God calls his people to genuine reconciliation. God calls his people to genuine reconciliation. And third, that this reconciliation, again, as we saw this morning, must be urgent. It must be urgent. For the judge also offers himself as Savior. Amen. Let's unpack this a little bit. First, note with me, ritual without reconciliation is rejection. Look at verses 10 through 15. Listen to the strong words of the Lord. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. You hear what God's saying there? Do you hear that? God says, I've had enough. I've had enough. The very sacrifices he commanded, the very feasts he instituted, the very prayers he encouraged, he now calls them an abomination. Abominations. Why? Because they're offered with unreconciled hearts. He continues, look at the text. He continues, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Beloved, do you see it? Outward worship without inward reconciliation is not merely empty here. It's offensive to God. It's offensive to God. Thomas Watson puts it this way. God will not smell a sacrifice reeking with blood. He hates prayers that come out of an unclean heart as a man would hate to drink from a foul cup. Boy, the Puritans could make it. You can really see it sometimes, right? Those are strong words. Let's go back to our husband who brought home his wife flowers. Remember from this morning? I want you to imagine now a husband bringing his wife roses. To this morning, it was just nice flowers to Shannon. But now I'm in deep trouble, so I'm going to bring her roses. And while I'm still holding the knife that wounded her, I say to her, honey, these are for you. Again, how will she receive my gift offering? My peace offering. Well, I still hold in one hand the roses I'm seeking to apologize and admit that I was wrong and need forgiveness without saying anything. In the other hand, I continue to hold the knife that stabbed her in the back and caused me to buy the roses. How will she receive those roses? She won't, will she? Would your wife? Do you get it? You had to hear the illustration this morning. See, that's another thing that's interesting. We're doing it deliberately. We want people to understand they miss out when they don't come back Sunday night. You got a sneaky supply, Pastor. I'm sneaky that way. If you come in the morning, you only get half of theology of truth. You need to come back in the evening to get the whole picture. Amen. The Lord's Day ends with the worship of God's people together. Now, that's kind of a lame illustration, but it does build on this morning's illustration. But that's exactly the way Judah was in Isaiah's day. And that's us if we walk in the house of God unreconciled, with hatred in our heart for our brother, with bitterness in our heart towards others. We're bringing offerings in one hand while clutching bitterness in the other. And we're expecting God to receive our offering. Right? You following me? It's like this. You remember when your kids, I do silly things too. Remember when your kids, you'd make a, I had brothers and we were crazy as you can all imagine by now and have no problem seeing that. And we would say something and you'd cross your fingers behind your back. Remember? The fingers crossed behind your back was like, whatever I'm saying is not true anyway, but I got crossies. And that's what we used to tell her. Well, I had crossies. No, it's okay. No. I had crossies, right? And then you could punch them. I just wanted to see if I could get David to flinch. You do something crazy, like, you know, crossies. We do that with God constantly. We come before God, the God of the universe, constantly offering in a Pharisaic way, if you will, just as the Israelites who are compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, seeking the blessing of God like hypocrites, because we're clutching on to hatred and bitterness for our brothers and sisters, for someone who offended us. Because we refuse, as we talked about this morning, we refuse to see that we need to deal with both the outer man and the inner man, and we need to start with the inner man. Amen. You can act like you're Christian all you want to, but you're only going to fake it for so long. You can't walk around calling yourself a Christian with crossies. Just kidding. God knows. And eventually, He will spit you out of His mouth. Now that's scary. But that's a fact.
He will spit you out of his mouth. Now, I told you, we went into Isaiah, and if you don't expect thunder when you're going to Isaiah, you don't understand Isaiah. Because Isaiah brings the thunder. And we forget that our God is a God of thunder. Thus saith the Lord, you shall not. Amen. Now keep thinking on those lines as we consider the call here for reconciliation. The tone's going to shift here a little bit in 16 and 17. Wash yourselves, we're told. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan and plead with the widow. God doesn't merely thunder with judgment. He calls with mercy. Let me say that again. I don't want you to miss this evening. God does not merely thunder with judgment. He calls with mercy. Wash yourselves, he says. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil. Do you see the difference? Do you hear the difference? God doesn't want mere ritual purity. He demands moral purity. God doesn't want mere ritual purity. He demands moral purity. He does not want sacrifice without repentance. He wants reconciliation that proves itself in love. Now, true covenant worship is both, as we said this morning, both vertical and horizontal. Love for God can't be severed from love from neighbor. It can't be. John Owen warns this way, he that makes religion a cloak for sin shall find that the Lord will tear the cloak and expose the sinner. God will not be worshipped with divided affections. Where are your affections this evening? Where are your affections this evening? Imagine a church that sings only the Psalms with beautiful harmony. And there's two elders in the front row that they sit silent in bitterness towards one another. Now the congregation may hear harmony, but God is only hearing what? Division. Discord. Worship without reconciliation is just noise in the ears of our God. It's just noise. But here's the question. How quickly must we act on this call that has been placed in our lives from the Sermon on the Mount and here from the prophet Isaiah? How quickly must we act on this call? Can reconciliation wait for a more convenient season? I'll speak to her when I'm ready. I'll speak to him when it's better. Isaiah's next words here give us the answer. I think reconciliation is urgent because the judge is at the door. But so also is his mercy. Look at verses 18 through 20 and notice the urgency of repentance and reconciliation. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Now, here comes, I think, one of the most gracious invitations in all Scripture. Come now, let us reason together. Come now, he says, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson. We don't want anything to do with Clemson right now. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. What a marvel that really is. The judge here is summoning rebels to his courtroom. And he's summoning them to his courtroom not to condemn, but to reason with them. Did you catch that? To reason with them. He offers pardon. Scarlet sin, crimson stains, that's permanent, really, and to the human eyes. He's saying they can be washed away, washed pure by divine grace, and by divine grace alone. If you are willing, he says, and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the soul. Sibs writes it this, says it this way. God's mercy is a stream that will run, but not always. He has a time when he may be found and a time when he will not be found. He has a time when he may be found and a time when he may not be found. He's inviting these rebellious people he has just compared and called Sodom and Gomorrah, who are offering worship to him, filled with hypocrisy, to come. Let's talk about this. Let's reason through this. Think about this. Whoa, hold on here. Though your sins are horrible, though they're scarlet, crimson, ugly, stained through and through, let's reason together. They may be made pure than snow. And we know what he's alluding to there, don't we? Somebody's not up and down. Yes, you know. He's alluding to no more than the man who stood on the mountain this morning and called us to the same question. When he told us he came to fulfill the law, not just the outward appearance of the law, he came to fulfill every portion of the law, including not the shedding of blood, but the very desire and attitude that you possess in your fallen nature to be angry and bitter at another individual. He paid for that and he kept that perfectly. Now that's good news. Why won't we call people to come and reason together? Now, I'm not getting into Charlie Kirk, other than I didn't watch the Steeler game today. The Steelers were on. And I watched the memorial service. I wanted to hear if I was going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly today. I almost went into it skeptical and wanting to say, well, I wouldn't have said it that way. I would have rather said, right? You following me? And then I finally, after about 3 hours of it, walked away and I thought, wow, I'm not criticizing that. From A to Z, I heard about Christ, right? I heard about Christ. I heard about Christ even keeping the law perfectly at one point. Mind blowing. Right? About Christ paying for sin, redeeming his fallen people. About people being fallen and sinful to start with. Really? On TV? Now, tongue in cheek, I drove over here this evening and Shanna's watching it on her phone. And I said, don't worry, I think Mary is. Just find Mary. I said, you can catch on. And I said to her, I said, hon, let me ask you a question. So is, I don't even know what it is. Newsmax, does that sound right? Okay, but Fox jumped on the bandwagon. We'll have that discussion after church. But anyhow, I'm kidding you. I only heard that. Right, it's on Newsmax and Fox. CBS, ABC, NBC, what are they playing? They're hoping people aren't watching that. Aren't they? They're hoping people aren't watching that. That they're tied into football and a football score more than they are about what might happen. Those rotten conservative people. Now, I'm not debating with anybody about this conservative liberal thing. I'm not even getting into that. We don't need to get into that. Let's just reason this way. We are sinners born dead in sin. And our biggest problem is this. We've offended a holy and righteous God. And his anger burns against sin like it did against Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's through him and him alone that we have been reconciled to him by him. Alone. We all start with the same problem. Dead in our sin. And what we see played out is two kingdoms opposed to each other day in and day out. And one wants to continue and wallow like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the other one has been changed by the indwelling Holy Spirit and being united to Christ in both His death and resurrection that they can't help but change. What's at stake is truth. The truth of God's Word. And God says here, I love this here, He says here, come, let's reason together. Now, I know I've said some harsh things to you. I've called you Sodom and told you you were Gomorrah. Yeah, that's a little harsh. I also said that perhaps, you know, I'm tired of this. This is garbage. Stop giving this to me. But that's all true. But here, let's reason together. Right? God's mercy is a stream that will run, but not always. He has a time when He may be found and a time when He will not be found. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to reason with each other and the world. How does this passage really fit into the larger covenant story, and what does it teach us about God's law, God's covenant, and Christ Himself? We see in this text the law and the gospel united. God's clearly telling us that He rejects empty ritual, which is law, but He promises cleansing, gospel. So we see that law and gospel are actually united, and we saw that this morning, did we not? In Christ Jesus, who fulfilled the law perfectly. So Jesus wasn't teaching anything new, was He? He was just fulfilling what was promised. Rutherford says, the law without Christ is a taskmaster. Christ without law is no Christ. He always washes whom He commands. So we see the law and the gospel united. We see covenant fellowship again established. Love for God and neighbor, they're inseparable. Thomas Watson said, he that makes no conscience of loving his brother makes no conscience of loving God. You can't separate the two. Law and gospel united, covenant fellowship established. And we all, as always, we see Christ, the fulfillment of all this. Scarlet sins washed white. Anticipated the cross. Because it's there Christ bore our guilt and shed His blood to reconcile God to us, us to God. John Owen, my favorite, the blood of Christ is the great sovereign remedy for sin-sick souls. So if that's what God requires and if that's what Christ has fulfilled, then the question really presses in upon us is how we must really now live as His reconciled people. Here's what I'd like you to do. Examine your worship. Examine your worship truly. Are you outwardly correct but inwardly estranged? God says, I won't hear you. Examine your worship as we here at Roebuck Presbyterian Church are in a season of transition. We just had prayer time. We're talking about the future of the church. Who will come? Who's going to come? You have the... Let's examine ourselves. Let's examine our worship. Are we just seeking to be outwardly correct? Are we desiring to be inwardly renewed and strengthened in our worship? Because if we're merely outwardly correct, it doesn't matter who He brings here. You understand that, right? Eventually, we're going to get to us. Not to Him. The one who's coming. Now, if you want to expand that and talk about the King of Kings who's coming, then that's a different story. But the pastor, right? Examine your worship. I need you to continue to think about pursuing reconciliation. Don't come to the Lord's table unreconciled. We talked about that this morning. Don't do it. The table is for reconciled people, washed in the blood of Christ, who are walking in love. Again, act urgently. Don't delay. Small offenses really grow into heavy debts, and you need to settle debts quickly. So we need to be reconciled today. Now, I'll be honest with you, and it's closing, and I know we have visitors, and maybe I shouldn't be so honest, but I'm going to. It's a day of honesty, right? Plus, I'm standing in the pulpit preaching the Word of God. I better be honest. I haven't enjoyed this morning's sermon or this evening's sermon at all. I didn't enjoy preparing the morning service or the evening sermon at all. None. It's made me extremely yancy. You know what yancy is? It's a tough guy saying anxious. And here's why. And every good pastor should do this. I've preached this sermon to myself and didn't like what I found. I have tough conversations to have with some people I love very dearly and don't want to have them. I have tough decisions and faults to admit I don't want to admit. But I have to have them. And I would venture to say, I'm not alone. I hope you're uneasy. I pray you're restless. Because I can almost be assured there's someone you need to be reconciled to. That one, you said, he hurt me so bad, I'll never forgive him. Or that woman, or that lady at church. Think about this. How do we walk around each other here and avoid each other? I don't know, but we do it. None of us want to admit it, but we do. Act urgently. Pursue reconciliation. Examine your worship. Isaiah thunders against Judah's hypocrisy, like I have my own and perhaps yours. But he also lifts up the covenant of grace. Though my sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And that's in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for my hypocrisy. And rose for my justification. And promised to change me more and more each day. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this evening. Your words can sometimes drop like a hammer. And Father, I'm thankful for that because sometimes I need hammered. But I'm also thankful for the grace that's extended over and over and over again. And I'm thankful, Lord, for your mercy. That you don't treat me as my sin deserves. Thank you for being patient and long-suffering with me. But I pray, Lord, that we as individuals would be a people who are willing to truly examine ourselves. To examine our worship, to examine our hearts, our wants, our desires, our thoughts. And Lord, may we stop being a people who desire to be right and a people who desire to be more like Christ. May we be a people that extend the grace that we've been given to each other more and freely, especially when we've been offended or hurt or rejected. We thank you for loving us. We pray that you, who have begun a good work in us, do indeed as you promised, that you will complete it. And we long for that day. And we pray with John even now, come Lord Jesus, come quickly, come even now. For your glory alone we ask it.